Accession number 10422, Reel 2.
Lieutenant Colonel M.R. Ferrins, Reel 2. You were talking about your marriage, Colonel Ferrins.
Yes, we were married on a Wednesday, the 4th of October, and the Colonel granted me 3 days' honeymoon. And we went to Scarborough, stayed at the Pavilion Hotel. Meanwhile, the battalion went to Whitburn Ranges for some rifle practice, and many of them had to march. I got out of the march. I had to report back to the battalion on the Saturday evening and do the shooting on the Sunday. But again, I didn't have to march back from Sunderland, Whitburn to Bishop Auckland, because I had my car there. So that was good. After that, we continued a little basic training at Bishop Auckland. Each day a little route march. And towards the end of October, we got word that the whole battalion was moving, the whole brigade was moving down to the Cotswolds. I can't remember the journey, whether it was the battalion went by train. I think I probably went with my wife by car. And the battalion headquarters was at Chipping Norton. Headquarter company was billeted in the old brewery at Chipping Norton. The officers were billeted mainly in hotels, although eventually there was an officer's mess. A house was taken over as an officer's mess. Shortly after we got to Chipping Norton, the company commander of B Company, Major Perry, was sent on a gas course. And I was posted from the carrier platoon to be second in command of B Company, which was stationed at Kingham in a riding stable. Very good billets. There must have been about 30 loose boxes in a square, and there were bunk beds. And there'd be 3 or 4 men in each loose box. The company quartermaster sergeant had a loose box as his stores, and another one was the company office. The company officers were billeted in the riding school owner's house, which became our mess. It was a very good billet. And we spent the whole of the winter, I did, with B Company at Kingham.
How were you received by the people of the... that
very area? Well received indeed. My wife came with me, and I was billeted in a house in the village owned by a man called Lanchbury, who was an agricultural engineer. It was a very cold winter, the winter of 39-40, and that was the coldest house I've ever lived in my life. We did eventually get a stone hot water bottle, and that was the only heating in the bedroom.
What was army food like at this time?
We had mess cooks, the company had cooks. I think the cookhouse was in the riding school, if I remember rightly. It was pretty good. The rations were pretty good. Men grumbled, of course, but it was pretty good. We had a mess cook. Each officer had a batman. They helped in the mess. I can't remember much about the training when we were there. Again, I think it was on a company basis. We had to have a training program. The company commander had to put in to battalion headquarters each week a company training program. Most of it, I think, was individual training, weapon training. I don't remember us ever having any shooting training there.
Was the division in a motorized role at this time? Were you doing any motorized training?
No, I don't think so. That started when we got to France. We were Army Reserve. 50th Division was Army Reserve, and we were a motorized division. And we did a lot of training of debussing in very quick time. I remember very well when we were at Chipping Norton, just before, in January, before we went to France, the brigade was inspected by His Majesty King George the VI. It was a bitterly cold day, and the brigade was formed up in the Market Square in Chipping Norton. That was a big day for us.
And have you any memories of that particular inspection?
No, I think it all went off pretty well. I remember it was bitterly cold. Then, towards the end of January, the division moved to France. I was left behind as rear party, commanding the rear party. And it was the morning the train came to Chipping Norton. One of our companies, C Company, was stationed at Hook Norton. And they had to march 5 or 6 miles from Hook Norton to the station at Chipping Norton to entrain, and they had an awful time. The snow was about a foot or more deep, and some men fell out, but eventually they made it. Then, as I say, I was left behind as a rear party, handing over the billets to some other unit that was coming in. And eventually, we went to rejoin the battalion. We sailed from Southampton to Cherbourg. And then by train, from Cherbourg to Fresnes-sur-Sarthe, which was just north of Le Mans, where the battalion was. I can't remember how long we were there, not very long. Then orders came for the division to move up to the Amiens area. And again, I was left behind in command of the rear party. A Company was a few miles away from Fresnes-sur-Sarthe, and I went to hand over their billets and found that they'd had set fire to one of the houses. They'd tried to clean the house up, leave it all spick and span, put all the rubbish in the fireplace and set fire to it, and then gone on parade. And the fire fell out onto the floor and set fire to the house. So that caused a bit of trouble. Had to settle that. And eventually I got a message that there was to be a court of inquiry about this fire. The battalion had moved towards Amiens, but the frost, it had been still very cold, the frost was coming out of the ground, and the pave roads were breaking up, and they'd been stopped. I can't remember the name of the place, but they spent a week en route at this town, and that was where the court of inquiry was to be held. So I had to go up from Fenny-sur-Sarthe to this place. It began with an M, and the court of inquiry was held there.
How did the French receive you in those early days?
Very well, very well. We didn't have an awful lot to do with them, but I remember that there was one restaurant in Fenny-sur-Sarthe that had a bath, and the colonel had the bath each night. I think the adjutant occasionally got one. We certainly didn't. I was billeted in the town with a very pleasant old lady, but I can't remember if there was a bath. I can't remember where the men were billeted.
When you got to Amiens, what was your role there?
Well, we didn't go to Amiens, we went to a place called Mollions-Vidame. Quite a large village. Again, some of the companies were billeted in villages a mile or two away. That was when we started this training as a motorized division. We went off on exercises, demonstrations, how many seconds it would take to get men out of a three-tonner. That's the transport we had, three tonners. We spent quite a long time there at Mollions-Vidame. Exercises, church parades. And then we moved up to the Lille area. I can't remember the name of the village. It began with E. And we moved up there, and we were there when the balloon went up on May the 10th. I remember the date because the night of May the 9th was the final of the divisional boxing competition. And I was invited to dine at divisional headquarters by the ADC, Captain Milbank, who was a very old friend of mine from Barningham, which is in North Yorkshire, and I knew him very well. And I went and dined at divisional headquarters, and then the boxing finals took place, which finished about 11 o'clock. And I'm absolutely certain that nobody at divisional headquarters had any inkling at all that the war proper was going to start next morning. I went back to my billet and was woken about 6 o'clock in the morning. Stop it.
What tasks were you set at Lille while you were in that area?
Almost the whole time we were up near Lille, we were employed digging the anti-tank ditch near a place called Seclin. It was a rotten job. We had to dig this anti-tank ditch, and I don't think later on it ever came into the war. But it employed us almost the whole time we were up near Lille.
Do you recall it? What kind of measurements you were?
Oh, it was big. It was 6 feet deep. Sheer on one side and sloping on the other. The whole division was employed. I think most of the BEF was employed on digging this anti-tank ditch.
From the 10th of May, the orders come down to move.
Well, I was saying earlier, I was woken about 6 o'clock in the morning. 50th Division came under the direct orders of the army. We were in reserve, really. And the move of the BEF up into Belgium, which started on the 10th of May, was called Plan D. And 50 Div provided the personnel for an organization known as the Route Regulation. There were four or five or six groups which moved immediately on the morning of May the 10th up into Belgium. I had some 500 or 600 men, by then I was a captain, under command. And my job was to go to a village on the main route, I can't remember its name, and establish a headquarters which the various units moving up into Belgium had to report to. The head of a unit stopped. I took over a pub on the main route as my headquarters. And they had to stop and report their serial number and then move on. And then the last vehicle in that unit had to stop and report that it was the last unit. And this went on up the whole route into Belgium. I think the one nearest to Brussels was at a place called Alost. And I would be the next one back. I had military police, I had engineers, signalers, and they were stationed along the route, recovery vehicles. All this had been planned long before, Plan D. And this went on. I remember General Montgomery, who was commanding the 3rd Division, he called in one day, see how things were going. Various high-ranking officers called to find out the progress of the advance into Belgium. I had been issued by Brigadier Massey, who was CRA 50 Div, with an enormous amount of Belgian money to pay my troops. We were up there, I suppose, just short of a week. I'd had one payday, but I still had an enormous amount of Belgian francs, which I kept in my officer's haversack. Eventually orders came to retire, rejoin our units, and the whole of the BEF rolled back. I still had all this money. I rejoined the 6th Battalion and was ordered by the colonel to go on an advance party to Vimy Ridge, where the division was moving up for the attack on Arras. I got there, if my memory serves me right, in the evening, found billets for the various companies in farms. There was no town, top of Vimy Ridge, on the left. When we went up to the top, I turned off to the left. It was a small village called Thalieu. And I arranged the billets for the battalion, which arrived in the very early morning.
Do you recall the date?
I can't tell you the date.
Can I just, before we go on, can I just ask what state the roads were in for during this retreat?
A lot of refugees.
And did you have
all the roads were covered with refugees, mainly making towards the coast.
And did you find it difficult getting through the refugees?
Not at that stage. I can't remember we had a lot of difficulty at that stage, because we were going south. They were going east. No, they were going west, towards the coast. No, I can't remember at that stage a lot of difficulty. That came later.
And when you returned to the 6th Battalion, did you take up your old role?
No, I was immediately sent off as the advance party to find billets for the battalion on Vimy Ridge. And as I say, they arrived, I think, in the very early morning, went into their billets, which were just farmyards. They spent the day, headquarter company, I think, with most of the transport, were in Thaleu Wood. I was back to second in command of B Company. Major Perry, of course, had come back before we embarked for overseas. And I think we spent that day in billets. And the next night. And then early in the morning, the CO and the adjutant went off to brigade headquarters, where they received orders for the attack on Arras. Counterattack against the German left hook that was coming round towards Arras. The battalion, after the orders had been given, left the billets, I would say, about midday. Now, I was LOB, left out of battle. That was the drill for second in command of companies. They were left out of the battle in case anything happened to the company commander. So I went back to Thaleu Wood, where the rear headquarter company was stationed. The quartermaster, the padre, one or two other second-in-commands of companies. And we spent the day there getting organized in this wood. And I can remember the quartermaster, Frank Robson, Lieutenant Robson, starting to get ready to provide a meal, a hot meal, for the battalion, getting the trucks organized so that at dusk they could be sent down the main road towards Arras to feed the battalion. Also, ammunition was loaded. Darkness came, and somehow or other we got a message that the trucks had not to go. The battalion was retiring. It was a dark night. We heard tanks moving about, and in fact, I think they were French tanks. They were nothing to do with us. Nobody slept very much. And I don't want this recording for the next 50 years. But during the night, the padre, Captain Wilde, started to cause a lot of trouble. He went round upsetting the men, saying we were being attacked by Germans, that we ought to retire, and upsetting the encampment completely. I tried to reason with him. I couldn't make him see sense at all. And eventually I had to knock him out physically and send him in a truck to brigade headquarters, from whence he was sent back to England. Now that I do not wish to be recorded.
Had he been with the battalion?
He'd been with the battalion since mobilisation.
Had he been with them on this attack and had come back in this state?
No, he hadn't been. He was in rear headquarters.
Was there some kind of enemy activity around that was causing
not enemy activity, but there was activity. These French tanks were moving about and that sort of thing. He got the wrong idea altogether. Very unfortunate. The next morning, we got orders to retire to the bottom of Vimy Ridge and await the battalion who were retiring along the main road from Arras. All the transport all went back and drew up on the side of the road, and the battalion started to arrive. It was at this point that Colonel Miller, my CO, detailed me off to stay behind when the battalion moved off, and left me half a dozen trucks to pick up stragglers. He also left me the motor transport officer, Lieutenant Lockhart, who had a motorbike, and he kept going up to the top of Vimy Ridge to urge the stragglers on and to see if there were any more. The colonel told me that he was taking the battalion back to La Bassée, to the hospital in which we'd been billeted in the night before we moved to Vimy. And I, when I'd collected the stragglers, had to rejoin the battalion in that hospital. We waited at the bottom of Vimy Ridge till about the middle of the morning, when there were no more stragglers coming along. We loaded up and set off for La Bassée. We were bombed on the way, but no casualties, and arrived at the hospital at La Bassée about midday, to find no sign of the battalion at all. There were several officers with me, including Major Perry, the commanding officer of B Company, the doctor, Captain Heslop, and three or four more other officers. And we had together, I suppose, some 200 men, all sorts of regiments, not just Durham Light Infantry. And we had an officers' conference there to decide what to do. We knew that we were army troops. We didn't know where division was, we didn't know where brigade was, we didn't know where the battalion was. But we knew we were army troops. And the doctor told us that army headquarters was at Wimereux on the coast.